Here we are. I remember how much you liked Mom's lemonade.
Hot lemonade, yes.
I added a little something.
Well, you're getting pretty frisky.
In my old age. Is it too cold on the porch? I'm sorry, but Dad's inside. I don't want to get him started.
It's fine. I can just stay a minute. I've got a job interview in Sacramento for the paper.
Aren't you writing for the Leader?
I got fired. How's your mom?
She's fine, according to Dad. Everything's fine. Mom and Dad, they're fine. I'm fine. We're fine.
It's hard to talk.
Well, it's 15 years. You've been to college, so you talk different.
Do I?
I saw you in town sometimes after you came back. I don't think you saw me till you come to the funeral.
Funny how kids are so close in high school.
And they promise to write. Water under the bridge.
I miss having a best friend.
I'm having funny dreams. Want some more?
I have to go. Why don't you let me kidnap you one of these days? Go shopping?
I gotta stay with Mom and Dad.
Or maybe the Friday dance, see if there are any cute guys. I'm joking.
Only joke I know is Mr. and Mrs. Octopus going into Noah's Ark, arm and arm and arm and arm. Jack told me that one.
Did you see the notice for that bounty?
Dad saw it.
That is not right. What if they kill him? Just go out there without a trial, just on the sheriff's say-so.
What do you hear from your husband?
What?
You showed me his picture?
He's in Italy, in Rome. He's not on the front now.
Don't you miss him an awful lot?
I manage all right.
I get so... Sometimes it really hurts.
What does?
What's missing?
So you saw about that bounty. Don't I remember in high school when Jamie's foot got caught in the combine? Bill Ebaugh, didn't you tell me that Bill Ebaugh came over and helped with the harvest then?
What are you talking about?
They'd listen to you. You're the sister. You're Jack's sister.
What do you care about all that? Jamie, you going to town? I need stuff.
I'm gonna see Brian.
You were going yesterday. I got a list in the kitchen. Did you take care of the horses?
I'll do that before I go.
Could you do it now?
I'll do it before I go.
When are you going?
Now.
You're Jamie? Jenny Cavendish. Jenny Thomas from high school? I was out to the funeral.
Oh, sorry, I...
He looks like George. I had such a crush on George.
Hi.
Jamie, I gotta put meals on the table and doing your work and Mom's work and Dad's. You are gonna muck out those stalls.
The muck will be there tomorrow.
I'll get you the list. Talk to each other.
Well, so...
Yeah.
How's the farm going? You taking over?
Things are up in the air.
It must be hard on you. But it's good to see how a family digs in and survives.
Pretty good.
And your dad?
Dad. Dad says to me, says, you don't need any money for clothes. You can wear Jack's clothes.
Here it is. I need it tonight. You got money because you got money from me yesterday.
You know what, Ruby? To hell with your goddamn list. You take the pickup, go to town, leave them alone for 5 minutes. They won't die. If they do, fine. They'll go to heaven with my goddamn brother.
He's leaving. Going to Seattle. Airplane factories up there. He says there's a future there because there's always going to be a war. I think he's jealous of Jack.
Jealous of Jack?
Jack's dead. I'm never going to get off the farm, Ginny. I'll never have a man. I'll never have any babies.
No. You wait till the war's over and you'll be fighting him off with a pitchfork. You need some makeup. I'm going to take you shopping and put you on some makeup.
I can't leave Mom and Dad.
You can for a couple of hours. Friday, okay? Friday. Ruby, you know they're going to go out there and hunt him and kill him like an animal, dead or alive. Bring him in like a piece of dead meat, hang him up like a pig and celebrate. It's not right. I think they'd listen to you.
I've been having really funny dreams.
I dreamed he came in the back door.
I dreamed he killed all my cats.
I dreamed he was
was Hitler and they're all naked. It was funny.
I dreamed I was wide awake.
The dream was... I have to make sandwiches. People are coming to eat. There's a funeral, so they're coming to eat, and it's all my job. Hundreds of sandwiches, loaves and loaves of bread, and this man is in the corner.
Hey, Ruby.
You hungry?
Billy Bob.
Who says?
Friend of your brother.
You hungry?
Who says?
He's big and hairy. Doesn't look like he's in grade school. He's huge. We're playing hide and seek, and I'm in the girls' bathroom, and he follows me in. This is for girls.
Well, that's fun.
I have to make sandwiches.
Give me a sandwich.
These are for Jack.
Give me a liverwurst sandwich.
Jack's hungry.
Jack's hungry, huh?
Jack's hungry because he got shot. And that makes a hole and it all falls out.
I could help. Trust me, I can run the combine. I can plow. I can dress a deer. I can sing songs. I can make fun of the teacher. I can make a truckload of sandwiches.
I want babies.
I just want a sandwich.
My brother's here.
Oh, hi, Jack. How you doing?
Jack asked, could he have a sandwich? I said they're all for Bill.
I remember he come in the barber shop once with his long hair. Barber said, Bill, what you doing here? And he picks up some hair off the floor, says, I need some more hair, and walks out.
I dreamed they shot him.
I dreamed birds were singing when they shot him.
I dreamed they shot him and he looked right at me.
I dreamed they shot him.
The birds were funny colors.
My God, Woody, this is filthy. The raccoons got in. You said it was shut up tight, but the kitchen, the floors are just... What? What happened? Are you hurt?
I'm okay.
That's blood.
I shot him.
Ebaw?
Well, we gotta get the sheriff.
Is he dead?
Maybe.
Don't you know?
He looks dead.
Give me the rifle. What happened?
Where's Joey?
Out in the yard. What happened?
I said I was going out there.
What happened, Woody?
I snuck up. Waited, he come out, I shot him.
What's all this blood?
What are you doing?
Woody, wiping you off. What did he do?
Fell down dead.
Before you shot him?
Nothing.
He didn't go for his gun?
Winona, I'm kind of sick.
Where did he go for his gun?
I don't know.
What do you think? He must have gone for his gun. Didn't you say anything?
What?
Like, surrender?
I knew it was him.
You must have said surrender.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Surrender.
Bill Ebaugh, surrender. I think you have to say surrender.
He started into the cabin.
And then you shot him.
Oh, God.
Because he could have gone in there and got his gun and you were a sitting duck. Is that what it was?
Couple hours and... So he come out and I got him in my sights and he was pumping water. He was kind of playing in the water.
Woody, honey, you're not thinking. He come out. You yelled out to him to surrender. He ran for the door. You thought he had a gun. You shot him in self-defense. Is that what happened?
He was pumping water, and he was playing in the water like a little kid playing in the water.
Woody, is that what happened? Tell me, damn it!
I thought he had a gun.
Maybe we should just leave him there. We could just leave him there. We don't have to have the money. Let's just leave him there. Nobody needs to know it was you.
Oh, I didn't do anything wrong.
Let me clean off the rifle before Joey comes in. No, you didn't do nothing wrong. You did it for me because I was scared, but nobody needs to know.
He's out on the porch.
Morty, you're not going to tell it right. You're going to say something wrong, because even policemen get in trouble if they just go and shoot somebody. What did you say?
I said, Bill Ebaugh surrender, but he didn't.
And then he went for the door, and you shot him.
Yeah.
Woody, you gotta tell it right. We'll go up to 9 Mile House and telephone. I'll get Joey.
He just fell. I waited. He laid there on the porch. I yelled at him. He didn't move. I come up, turned him over, I think. Thought, well, he looks dead. Like a deer. I thought I'd feel something, but I didn't. Just felt like killing a deer.
You just tell them the facts. And make sure that they understand that you did everything to not have to shoot him, but you had to shoot him. In self-defense.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing to be scared of. $300, we can use that. Joey needs our coat for winter.
Don't tell Joey.
Shh. You're a hero, Woody. It's over and done with. You are a hero. We're not afraid anymore.
And obviously, it's not over and done with. You're listening to Act 1 of Long Shadow. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
We'll broadcast Act 2 next month. But if you'd like to not wait a month to hear it, or if you tuned in late, visit our website. The whole play is there for listening anytime. www.hitching.org.
First, some credits. In Long Shadow, the actors were Philip Sneed, Gary Wright, Carolyn Howarth, John Sousa, Karen Castle, Scott Gilbert, Paulette Gilbert, Michael Moorman, and Sharon Winiger. The text is by Conrad Bishop and Elizabeth Fuller and was developed during the course of improvisational workshops with the Foothill Ensemble. Music and audio engineering by Elizabeth Fuller, directed by Conrad Bishop. We'd like to thank KVMR-FM of Nevada City for audio resources, the Nevada County Historical Library, and the Flint Ridge Foundation, James Irvine Foundation, National Endowment for the Arts, and the California Council on the Humanities for funding. And special thanks to Gary Wright for making us aware of this story, and to Philip Sneed for initiating our residency with Foothill.
So we'd like to talk just a little bit about the story and this project and our own hitchhiker's journey into the past of Nevada City.
What we did to put our thumbs out and get involved in this.
Well, we'd had some contact with this absolutely wonderful theater company. If you're within reach of Nevada City, tune into their season on their website and think about going up there for a piece of theater instead of just down to the bay. Anyway, we had done a project with a new play of ours, and we were very interested in each other. We started a kind of a courtship and thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to do a project together? And, of course, the obvious question was, what shall we do? And they thought about it a minute, and then they said, well, you know, there's this incredible story that we've been really interested in for a long time, but we've never figured out what to do with it.
And they'd also been a little bit anxious about the idea of even thinking about what to do with it, because it was not a very happy story about the community.
It was something that caused such an enormous amount of controversy that even 30 years after this incident happened, somebody who was doing a retrospective journalistic recap of it wound up with a death threat.
But we found it absolutely enthralling.
Once they described even a little bit of it, we just said, oh, good grief.
And I think it connected for us on several counts. One is that we personally have known in the past someone who reminded us very much of Bill Ebaugh in the sense of everyone who knew him having a different version of him. And is this person multiple personalities?
Or do we have multiple realities?
Do we have multiple realities? What is this going on? How can you find some common ground for talking to people who have a very different view.
And exactly as it was in this story, the thing that's from our past was something that created just incredibly painful division among the people who had these differing views. Everybody felt hurt, but for a different reason.
And then, of course, in the newspaper every other day, there is some new case. They don't all have the celebrity status of O.J. Simpson, but the range of the Mumia Jamal case, the O.J. Simpson case, Leonard Peltier. You could go on and on into every little tiny community in the country that has some kind of an equivalent of that, I think, where indeed the community forms different realities within their own heads, partly because of what they feel is right and partly because of what they need to believe is the truth. And so when we approached it, I think the last thing in our minds was to think, well, was Bill Ebaugh guilty or not? Because there is no way to know.
And anyway, that's not really the point. That's not really what the story is about. But we did have to start with something. And so the first thing that we did was to do just hours and hours and hours of research at the excellent little historical library that's in Nevada City, reading microfilms of old newspapers. This is from 1944, which doesn't really seem like it's that much ancient history, but believe me, it is. We've got the attention span of a gnat these days, and going back that far is ancient history.
It's also very interesting to, I think it's really necessary to look at historical sources as people saw them at the time, you know, as people experienced. It's a different thing to go back and look at Vietnam War footage or to go back and look at an old TV newscast.
Yeah, the way it
where,
was
okay,
for
here
us.
Are the 2 minutes, and then there's the commercial, and then there's another 2 minutes. And indeed, in the newspaper, the first murder is reported not on page one of the little tiny paper, but on page two. On page one is some of the war news, and then the death of an elderly doctor, and then various other things, and the weather, and so on. And then fairly small, on page two, this man was killed. That man was not very important until his cause became a case. Of course, then when the suspect was in the process of being chased down, then it became very much front page headlines. And when Ebaugh was killed, it became very much front page headlines.
But even so, there's all the rest of the paper, just as there is for us. I mean, go and read any one of the free weekly tabloids that are around in every city in the country. It seems like about 95% of it is ads. And so you've got the news, but you also need to pay attention to, well, what were the prices at the grocery store? And what was going on down at the Grange Hall? And who just got married?
And a big election coming up. Dewey versus Roosevelt, and Roosevelt, of course, won the election for his fourth term. But it was very startling to hear a lot of things that Dewey was saying in the election that were part of the last election. It doesn't change a whole lot.
There are still people around who were there at the time, although most of them we didn't hear from until after the play was actually not only written but staged. And then they came and they gave us their responses, which were very, very interesting.
Somebody as a small girl had actually, when Billy Baugh's body was brought in and laid out publicly at the morgue, and people, lots and lots of people came to see it, and this little girl actually reached out and touched his toe. And she remembered that. 60 years later.
So one of the things that became immediately apparent that was of great interest to us, because it is so much like what's happening with the use of fear to designate individual people or whole segments of people as the other, the alien, the one who isn't human, and the role that fear and the role that media play in creating that fear. And oh boy, did this all sound familiar.
We decided very early on to focus on three different centers of action. You've got the general community, but you can't have just somebody sit down there and debate the question. But what is the effect on the first murder victim's family? what is the effect on the person who is the most active agent in law enforcement, on the sheriff and the people around him, of this absolutely vehement good versus evil belief, and indeed trying to act on what you truly believe is good and right.
And the young working couple, the parents of a small child, where the father is the one who actually did the killing shot with and collected the bounty after having killed Ebaugh. We're trying to walk our own talk of seeing the absolute humanity and following the thread of, well, what would it have been like to be those people in that circumstance, not painting a generic picture, but looking at these particular people.
Now, we have no record. We know that the family of the young man who was murdered is still in the area, lots and lots of them. The family of the sheriff was a very prominent family and still is. We have no idea what happened to the bounty hunter. He goes off the map as soon as he's collected the bounty, and we know no more of that. But trying to speculate especially on the reality beyond what is reported in the newspaper, we fictionalized all of the names except Bill Ebaugh, because as soon as you put a character on stage, it becomes a fictional character.
Sure.
Nobody knows what's going on in that conversation at the dinner table. But trying to dig into the reality of the victim's family, who, the way it's normally presented in the newspaper, well, they need relief, they need satisfaction, they need to be released from this terrible thing, and the way to do it is, of course, that justice will be done. It doesn't always work that way. It usually doesn't work that way, where some action will then just wipe out all of the psychological problems and all of the economic problems that come about.
We don't have very good rewind buttons in our hearts. And then the final thing was, well, what in the world do we do with Bill Ebaugh? Because here is this incredibly wild, potentially very romantic in the sense of romance novels, character who is an awful lot more like people that we see in western Sonoma County now than you would expect to be around in the Nevada City woods in 1944. I mean, think about it. People were clean-shaven. They wore hats. They had short hair. They were dressed almost to the point of body armor. And here's this guy with long hair and a long beard, and he liked to run around naked in the woods and sing songs to courting couples. And the temptation is to think of that as being, oh my goodness, this poor, sweet, hippie soul, you know, and just run with that.
But then you go to the library and you see a whole series of encounters with the law and a trial for rape and another accusation that he had bought a man's wife for $20 and kept her against her will, and going back and forth, and he's always acquitted or the charges dismissed. Certainly, it's a person who has a problem with authority.
But it was truly the case that he had a lot of lovers. And when he had his funeral, it was the ladies who were there.
And so the question for us was, well, you have the central character around this whole thing, and how do you present him? Because it's a little different on radio, but on the stage, as soon as you bring out this person, people start forming their own judgments, and if he looks a little bit guilty, why, we'll probably feel that he is, and so on. And that was not the issue. The issue, we certainly didn't want to solve the question of what would have happened if he'd been brought in and stood trial.
So we did long improvisational sessions with this excellent group of actors, and many, many sessions where we basically said, okay, just riff on, you had a dream about Bill Ebaugh. What was it? And we had these yards and yards and yards of lurid or silly dreams, and we used those as a kind of a stepping-off point for how to portray Bill. I mean, for one person, he's almost an erotic figure. For someone else, he's the most Godzilla-like threat. He's going to directly fracture your manhood or he's just weird beyond belief.
And so we decided, well, we will present him as he is presented to us, and that is entirely through other people's viewpoints as this multifaceted, multiversioned creature. On stage, he was always in shadow. We only saw a shadow, but he's always only in the way we dream about him. Well, and so next month, the conclusion of Long Shadow. And as we said earlier, if you'd like to hear it right now, it's on our website, www.hitching.org, as is every one of our 90 programs over the past 3 years, www.hitching.org.
And if you're in the North Bay area, on September 30th and for 3 weeks thereafter, our new play, Drake's Drum, will be playing at the Sonoma County Repertory Theater in Sebastopol.
It's a very special hitchhiker's journey, Francis Drake's round-the-world voyage, and all that followed. Information on our website under performance schedule. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. Peace and joy. And here are some moments from next month's show.
The man is dead. That means paperwork.
Carl, listen to me.
At what point did he have a gun?
People call up and congratulate us. Jack must be happy in heaven now that somebody's dead.
Hey, a bunch of us are talking about doing a Christmas parade. Get people's minds off this Wild Bill thing.
We don't know Bill Ebaugh killed a man. Only person we're sure killed a man is Woody here.
Don't worry, Woody. The money's on its way.
Woody? They think you're a hero.
Dad, did Jamie do it? Did he shoot Jack?
Just get through till tomorrow. And tomorrow it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world, Carl. Yeah, it's a whole new world.
I don't know anymore, Lester. I don't know who killed who.
It's beautiful being alive, loving the ladies, flying.